Welcome to Health Reimagined. Healthcare has spent years and billions modernize its technology. But the real question is not whether any of it is actually moving the needle. Today, we're getting into the gap between transformation and outcomes and what it's really going to take to close it. I'm John Meyer from Meyer Media, powered by Ingram Micro. Let's get into it. Joining us today is Monica from Sublimation Health. Monica, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
When you talk to healthcare IT leaders today, what's the dominating emotion in the room? Are they excited? Are they exhausted? Or maybe a little bit of both?
I think it's a combination of both. I think there's a lot of concerns about being able to move fast enough and also making sure that they're helping the hospital innovate. So there's excitement about innovating and what the possibilities are, but then there's also nervousness about security and other challenges that have been around forever and are harder to solve for. So we see that mixture of excitement, concern, and exhaustion. Definitely.
I imagine immediately there's that excitement, all this new technology, all this stuff, all this innovation they can do for their hospital. And then comes the emotional part of it, of how do I get it done? How do I get it done timely? Right. Security is a factor. Do I have enough skills to actually do it?
Right. And skills is something that comes up, quite often. And then it's very difficult to upskill the organization, retrain at the same time that you're trying to implement. So that's a big challenge. And also, making sure that there's organizational alignment is really one of the hardest things, I think, because a lot of the transformation projects or programs will start in IT. And it really needs to be a combined business and IT endeavor in order to align everyone and drive success.
Organizational alignment, everybody bought into actually doing the digital transformation, actually innovating and getting there. And I'm sure there's a lot of friction of change, of actually getting it done, that they don't want to change what they're doing, but also the time that it takes to get done.
Yeah, it's the fear of the change in addition to the time and also prioritization. So everyone has, their job to do, and plus every hospital is going to have a portfolio of internal projects and priorities that they've gotten from their business partners, and bringing in a huge transformation effort on top of all of that can be difficult. So
Monica, the word transformation gets used a lot in this industry. What's your honest read on how much actual transformation has taken place versus how much has just been modernized for its own sake?
So I see a lot of modernizing for the transformation, and it, like modernize and transforming being used interchangeably, and modernizing being focused on we're going to change our technology or we're going to adopt the cloud. Whereas the transformation, it requires the people and process side in addition to technology. You have to have all that triad of people, process, technology aligned and working towards that. What is going to benefit the hospital themselves? So thinking about workflows, how are you going to improve patient care? How are you going to prevent physician burnout? When the narrative switches to solving those business problems, then you get into transformation versus we're modernizing our technology and that's going to solve our problems. It needs to be a combination of both.
Can you do one without the other?
Lots of places do. And yes, I mean, you can get started with your technology modernization and then over time, bring in the business partner, start those dialogues, innovate using right now, of course, AI is very popular. If you want to blend AI into some of your workflows, understanding what those business problem statements are and what their use cases are, and then, actually delivering that for the business customer is a great way to start. But ideally, you're bringing the people and the process and procedures and everything along with those technical implementations.
Well, since you said it would be a conversation without having AI in it a little bit. And we know AI is consuming a lot of the oxygen in the room right now. Excuse a little bit of a pun. Yeah. Does that feel like the right focus to you, or is there groundwork that still needs to happen first?
Well, there's certainly early adopters that are already working on patient workflows and, you know, ICU workflows and other parts of the hospital. So you do see innovators and early adopters. Certain hospitals are doing that. But then I think, you know, that you always run that risk when we're in a hype cycle for a new technology that the adoption doesn't go well, then the technology sits on the shelf for a while and, you know, you sort of miss that window for innovation and then it becomes a commodity. So some organizations can wait until it's more commoditized, but I think the problem right now is that even with the large language models, for example, so that's very popular in healthcare because, of course, that's, you know, you want to be able to trigger, have the physicians be able to trigger workflows based on their speech and have that automatically update different processes and workflows in other systems. And, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks, those models are getting stronger and stronger. So the organizations that start out first might find themselves in that constantly upgrading cycle. And, you know, that's fine, or they can wait until it's more commoditized and be a little bit of a later adopter at that point. But I would say that right now we're squarely in that hype cycle with the early adopters that are having to keep pace with the updates that the tech industry is providing them.
So. Monica, healthcare organizations have invested billions in digital transformation. Why do so many still struggle to point to a measurable clinical or operational impact?
So in my opinion, the way to do that is starting with the key performance indicators and what are the outcomes that you want at the beginning of the program and shaping it and saying, these are the business outcomes that we want. So very often, these transformations or modernizations will start in the IT department and it'll get focused on cost savings only. And that's where you miss that opportunity to move the needle for the business. So the other thing that you see pretty frequently at that point too is that migrations will stall. So they'll start, you know, start transforming or start modernizing by adopting cloud. And then because the people and process work hasn't been done to go along with it, or the organization hasn't been, you know, upskilled or is in a training path, then the migrations kind of stall out. So there's, you know, I can't stress enough how important it is to focus on all three parts of it, the people, the process, and the technology, because those are the successful migrations that we see, or the success stories for transformation. And bringing in other parts of the business that might not normally be involved in technology projects. So reaching out to your organizational change management, your training teams, you're going to be working with the physicians and clinicians, but bringing them in sooner and not making it just about, you know, the refinancing the infrastructure.
Monica, two of the things that you talked about that I find critical is one, migration stall. One of the reasons that I feel it stalls is change of leadership throughout a migration plan. Different outcomes, different things, needs that they're looking for. So it tends to stall a little bit because you change the leadership and they want something else while you're in mid-migration. And the other thing that user does is that the KPIs, they bite off more than they should chew, is that they're looking for a huge outcome, a huge result, when if they take it in little chunks, they'll see better results and better outcomes rather than trying to get the whole thing in immediate gratification.
I agree. And I think using an agile approach and quick wins and incrementally migrating over time in the waves, using migration waves or whatever method or approach you'd like to use, is really makes a big difference, because any kind of huge migration wave is going to be it's going to be harder for especially some of the smaller hospitals to take that approach. So I think that another thing to avoid the migration stall is to, again, you know, upfront, make sure that the entire organization understands what it's going to take. So there sometimes can be a gap between the communication of, hey, this is going to involve vendors, application owners, other people outside of the infrastructure and operations team. We need to draw them in early, get them aligned to help us with the migration. Otherwise, that causes a lot of stall also when you can't get the other resources aligned to test and approve the application before it migrates.
Are we past the cloud migration conversation, or should healthcare be thinking about cloud as a full platform strategy?
In my opinion, the platform construct makes sense, because if in order to take advantage of AI and other technologies that are going to be available or are available to us, the scalability is very difficult to provide on-prem. And so you have to think about your cloud platform as just that strategic enabler, and how you're going to enable the business to move at the pace and innovate at the pace that's going to be required. So just focusing on the migration, it's just one facet of that whole bigger transformation effort that needs to take place. That's my thought.
Monica, cyber threats really aren't slowing down. How does cloud modernize strengths, resilience, rather than introduce new risk?
That's a question, probably the first question we always get from customers is, what about security? And the cloud isn't, you know, they have concerns about the cloud not being as secure as on-premises. But, you know, we'll talk a lot about immutable architecture and zero trust and, you know, being able to manage your infrastructure as code using guardrails and service control policies. And the cloud just provides a lot more capability in the security space and a lot more automation to prevent human error than is available in the on-premises environment. So we'll talk our customers through what that looks like, what the options are, how they work, and you know, hopefully drive that comfort level that also, you know, the hyperscalers are going to spend a lot more on cloud, their security in the cloud, than an organization can afford sometimes on, you know, on premises. So customers, we will talk with them about, you know, the hyperscalers and the cloud providers being responsible for the security of the cloud, but then the hospital still has responsibility for security in the cloud. And then we'll walk them through what that looks like. And we'll talk about those you know, approaches, the best practice approaches, like I mentioned, the zero trust and others. So that generally helps calm nerves somewhat. And then being able to just be there with our customers, you know, side by side to help them through setting up all that infrastructure and process.
Human error always exists, whether it's in the cloud or on-premise. When you're on-premise or it's your healthcare data center, there's a little bit unique security is that data is not leaving naturally to hit the cloud. But when you get to the cloud, you have more security. You have stronger security that you can utilize, but it's also the innovation that you can't have in your data center. There are certain trade-offs, but security is not one of them.
That's right. Yeah. Security is job zero, as everyone says, and you can't compromise on that. So exactly. And to your point about data transfer and data moving too, that's another aspect where there's more capability, in my opinion, for protecting and managing the data using some of the, again, guardrails and controls that are available. Rather than, you know, a lot of heavy lifting on-prem to do the same things.
A lot of health systems are growing through mergers and acquisitions, and that is going to be difficult for some because not everybody's using the same cloud provider, the same data centers. How do you actually design this infrastructure today that doesn't become a liability when the next integration comes along?
Right. So what we've been doing with customers that have pending merger and acquisition activity is making sure, first of all, that their landing zone is able to accommodate those multi-accounts coming in, and working through a playbook that will help them, you know, at a 30, 60, 90 day period, whether it's the merger or acquisition, how do you go through that process? What do you need to look for in order to bring the organization into your environment. And then there could be cases where an acquired organization will stay as is for a period of time. But even at that, we'll help work through what does that look like for the hospital? What processes do they have to, can they integrate at first? And then what can they integrate over time? And then as far as the architecture goes, just making sure that particularly for the landing zone is really the most important piece. And then you start talking about scaling up and what that's going to look like. But the cloud, you know, that's what the cloud is built for. So it's mostly focused on landing zone permissions, how they're going to integrate into the overall structure, and getting that playbook together on having KPIs for 30, 60, 90 days. What does this look like? And what is, you know, are you on track for how you expected to be able to integrate this organization?
Monica, my last question for you is, technology transformations fail more often because of the people rather than technology. What does change management actually look like when it's done right?
So change management when it's done right, it's a great question. And again, you know, from my perspective, what that looks like is that you have a cascading communication plan for the organization. It really starts with leadership. So you have to have that transformational leadership at the top that's going to communicate out to the organization, answer the questions, why now, what are we going to gain from this? And really having that strong communication campaign going at the same time that you're drawing in the people in the organization for either training or upskilling, and explaining what that looks like, how their jobs may change. One of the biggest challenges in that OCM space, especially with bringing in newer technologies or bringing in cloud, is that people are often afraid that something is going to happen with their role. So that has to be hit, you know, head on right away with communication, with training, with giving them that vision of where it's going, and having that whole work stream running in parallel with the technology that's going. So when I was talking in the beginning about that triad of people, process, and technology, it aligning those three areas and having them stay aligned throughout the length of the program is what drives success.
Monica, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. This was great. Thanks.
To learn more about Sublimation Health and how they're helping healthcare organizations turn technology investments into real outcomes, visit sublimationhealth.com. Stay tuned. There's more to come on Health Reimagined.